Welcome to today's episode of IBM Says What. I'm Elise Murphy. This is Bob.
And I'm Ahmed Usman.
And we have Kiri Nicholson with us today to talk to us about the importance of capacity planning.
Kiri has been with IBM for over 4 years, specializing in IBM Z hardware. She has been working with Washington System Center, primarily helping clients see the value in capacity planning. Kiri, it's great to have you today.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Awesome. So I'm going to start it off easy. What is capacity planning and why is it so critical for these IBM Z system machines?
Sure. That's a great question. So let me start off with my usual disclaimer about capacity planning. You'll hear two phrases used pretty much interchangeably, capacity planning and then CPU sizing. I myself even use these interchangeably as I go about my day job, but they're actually two distinct concepts. Capacity planning is an ongoing effort, right? Where system utilization is continuously checked against a multi-period plan. It identifies and it manages workload growth at a business level, and it requires forecasting capacity upgrades or changes months to years in advance, right? This is a really long process. CPU sizing is something different, but it fits right in quite neatly. CPU sizing is a one-time finite effort that's done in preparation for a processor change. Think an upgrade, a consolidation, or a replacement. And CPU sizing is aimed at verifying this proposed specific change. So that's what I do at the Washington System Center, and it's an important part of capacity planning. As to why it's critical for IBM Z systems, hopefully that's at least somewhat obvious, right? In order for the IBM Z to be able to really add value to your organization, you need to be able to run all of that critical work on it and that you're depending on the Z for. So what we can do with CPU sizing and an extension, capacity planning, is make sure that you're running efficiently, that your Z systems are sized well, and that you have a plan of how to scale and adjust in the future as your business grows and changes.
Wow, that's some really good information. What would you say are some key terms and tools to know about for capacity planning and CPU sizing?
Okay. So I'd say the first term that comes to mind is a term called MIPS. But let me back up for a second so I'm not just throwing acronyms at you. So if you're new to Z or new to capacity sizing, you might not have heard these terms before, but let me try to explain. There is something called the LSPR, or the Large Systems Performance Reference Data. IBM builds LSPR data from a set of benchmarks that are running representative workloads. So these LSPR tables are then labeled on based on the ZOS operating system level at the time of the benchmark. So right now, today, that's currently at ZOS 2.4. The unit of capacity that we use in these tables is relative MIPS. So MIPS is what I started with at the beginning, and MIPS stands for million instructions per second. So MIPS are consistent across all the generations of processors, meaning if a workload was using 50 MIPS on your older processor, it's going to continue to need 50 MIPS on your new processor. So if you Google IBM Z MIPS, you'll probably come across something that we call a MIPS table. The official name is the Multi-Image Processor Capacity Ratio Table, but that's a bit of a mouthful. So you'll usually hear them referred to as MIPS tables. These MIPS values given in the table are median complex. So median complex LPARs, or logical partitions, configurations for each model based off of customer profiles that we have that are the most representative of the vast majority of customers. To boil that down, it's really right there in the middle of what we think most customers are running. The same workload is assumed in every partition, excuse me. So there's a huge caveat, a huge red flag, kind of a warning bell going off here, right? These tables that you can find when you Google IBM MIPS or IBM Z MIPS should be used for back of the envelope rough idea calculations only. They're super general, and they won't be a good way for you to size your IBM Z for your enterprise. So what we implore you to use instead is a tool called IBM ZPCR or IBM Z Processor Capacity Reference. It is free and is publicly available to use as is. It's a PC-based tool that provides the user with detailed capacity planning insight based off of the specific LPAR configuration, the specific workload category you're running, and the specific use of specialty engines that you're running in your enterprise. So it's much more on the target than just referencing these tables. You can load in your data as an EDF, which is a special kind of file made from SMF data. And once you've loaded that in, you can define alternative configurations and compare them to the base. You can look at what an upgrade, if you're on a Z14, you can look like what that would look like when you're on a Z16. So this allows you to accurately start sizing your new IBM Z so it can be appropriate for your organization.
That's very interesting. It seems like the tool can help analyze a lot of different scenarios.
Absolutely.
So let me ask you this, right? I work in the federal space. If my client does do the capacity planning and they do it well, how beneficial can it be for them? What does that mean for them?
Sure. I'd say if you capacity plan well, you're getting a well thought out, dynamic, and trustworthy plan in place so that you have an idea of where you are and where you're going in terms of the capacity of your Z system or systems. The capacity to run work is arguably the most important aspect of an IBM Z. You don't want to be caught in the middle of a refresh cycle and not have a plan in place for how to handle increased workloads or growth, right? Mm-hmm. We see all sorts of things on my team at the WSC, and we handle all sorts of cases from all sorts of clients. There are a lot of things to consider, like what times of the day, the month, or even the year are most busy for you. Take an insurance company, for example. They're probably going to see the year's peak at open enrollment, right? When all of their customers are interacting with their system in some way, right? Mm-hmm. And so you want to make sure that there's a plan in place for that and how you can handle that increased workload. We want to make sure that even if you're refreshing in, say, March, that you're taking into account the volume of work that's going to be need to be done later in the year. So we have to think these things through and make sure that we're planning well and planning responsibly so you can run all of the work that you need to. Because the flip side of that coin is being caught in a situation where you're either wildly underutilizing a system or you're running in a way where your work is being significantly delayed because you're over the capacity of the machine. Neither is good. Both mm-hmm. have financial consequences. And so we really want to avoid that. Having a solid capacity plan in place helps make sure that you have the capacity that you need when you need it, and then you're ready for the future.
That makes a lot of sense. And I think that probably resonates with a lot of our listeners. What role does cross-departmental collaboration play in successful capacity planning?
So I'd say a capacity plan really starts from the top down, starts with the lines of business. We as IBMers can talk to everyone in the Z or mainframe shop that we want to, right? But unless we have a good understanding of what the business is doing, it's really kind of impossible to be able to read and have an accurate idea of where the organization is going and what they'll need capacity-wise. Take a merger of two companies, for example. That's not necessarily going to be on the radar of the folks in the IT organization when it, you know, very first starts to be an idea. But eventually, the IT needs of a merged company will be larger and different than any one of the individual companies themselves. So we have to get the leadership involved. We have to get the lines of business involved so that we can forecast into the future and start to sketch out a plan for how we're going to make sure that we have the processing capacity for everything the business needs to be able to do. So it's truly cross-departmental in that way.
Wow, that's so interesting. I think we have room for one more question, if that's all right.
Yeah, absolutely.
So for one of our listeners who might be interested in a CPU sizing study, how should they proceed with that?
Sure. I'd say engage your IBM support team. So whether that's an IBMer themselves, if you have direct relationships, or if you're going through a business partner, we can conduct a more in-depth capacity sizing study and or provide additional support. So as far as getting started yourself, if you want to, and I would suggest you do, use IBM ZPCR, you can take a look at some of your IBM Z system data and download the supporting documentation as well. And so because IBM ZPCR is free to the public and to use, we can link that in the show notes and have that available for you to look at right now. We have an additional tool that's free and publicly available also called IBM ZBNA or Batch Network Analyzer that we can link in the show notes and with the documentation so you can get started yourself. If you want to learn more about Workload Manager and how that might affect how you're running on your Z and how that's going to affect your capacity planning, there's an excellent Red Book to check out that we can link as well. But finally, I'll say it again, please, please, please reach out to your IBM support team. We're all here to ensure that you and your organization are successful in running the critical workloads that your IBM Z supports.
Definitely. Kiri, thank you so much for joining us today and spending time to talk to us about capacity planning. I'm Ahmed Usman.
I'm Elise Murphy. This is Bob.
And thank you for joining us for another episode of IBM Says What. Stay tuned for future episodes.